Amen. Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you that we can come and praise you and just look up to you and know you, all things are sifted through your hands. You're protecting your people. You're directing your people. Thank you for the protection over this church. Thank you for protection over your people. Thank you for protection over our families, God. We just give you honor and glory. And Lord, we just pray that this morning you continue to speak to us and just show us again, give us so much security that knowing that you know us personally and that you're protecting us personally and that you're doing a mighty work. And as we listen to you, you're going to give us that direction to lead us in the way we should go. So we just thank you in advance. I pray you just anoint me at the Spirit, just things that come from my mouth would be of the Spirit, and each heart would be able to receive from the Spirit. So we praise you in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Gosh, this is the last Sunday in 2020. Hate it, don't you? No. It's just like, well, it's been an interesting ride. So we want to look at this, and, you know, the Lord is moving. He's moved in our lives, and we just want to give him honor. And, you know, nothing comes as a surprise to him, and we should have great security in that and have great peace from that. And the title to the message this morning is Wonderfully Known. Now, who's talking about us, that we are wonderfully known by him. And I think that's a good thing for us to think about. And we're going to look at that, the psalm that really communicates that in a big way, is Psalms 139. So, whatever you have with you, if you turn to one psalm, if you turn to Psalms 139, that's where we're going to spend our time. We're going to spend our time this morning. So, wonderfully known. So, we're going to look at, start off with Psalms 139, 1. Psalm 139, 1. And it says this, O Lord, you have searched me and known me. Let's just start off with that. Is it the Lord? And by the way, just we really want to take this very, very personal, very, very personal in our situation, very, very personal in this world. And really it gives us so much security, and that's so important. While the world is fearful and hiding and, you know, just, no, it gives us an unbelievable amount of security and peace, and that we do not walk around in fear. We are not fearful. The church is not fearful. Oh, Lord, you have searched me and known me. See, the Lord knows his own. The Lord knows his own. You know, you see people, oh, God loves everybody. Well, that's true. He died for everybody. He sent his son to die for everybody. And it says, oh, we're all God's children. Well, that's true out of creation, you know, that we're made in God's image. But what the Bible says, he knows his own. His own. Those who have accepted him, he has a special focus on, special direction. And it says, once we come to know him, we become his children. So there's a real father-child relationship. Once we come to know him, we should understand that. You, we, the church, is like the treasure of God's eyes, you know. And so we need to know that. So the Lord knows his own, and God has intimate knowledge of us, intimate knowledge of us, and intimate involvement in our lives. We're not alone. Now, some of us might think, okay, he has intimate knowledge of us. But do we believe? No, he has intimate involvement in our lives. He's working in our lives. And so we're not alone. So in anything, we're not alone. God is here moving within us. Now I want to read to you Psalm 139 verses 2 through 6 as this thought continues. Verse 2. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from afar. This is good. And you think, maybe not so good. He knows what you're thinking. He knows what you're thinking. You discern my thoughts from afar. You search out my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways. Even before a word is on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. Before I speak, he knows what's on my tongue. Sometimes I think probably I should have a closer relationship that he could tell me, don't say that. I know what you're going to say. Don't do it, you know. Anyway, but he knows. See, the whole thought here is in that situation and you just blurt out something and that's the negative. Well, I knew he was going to do that. But also, he puts us in the situation because we have received and listening to him, and he speaks out through us. He also knows that, too, and that's what his desire is. But the point of it is, you know, even before a word is on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it all together. Then it says, you hem me in behind and before, and lay your hand upon me. I think this year, everything going on, well, I can't answer everything that's going on. I have to look at myself. You have to look at yourself and say, no, I hemmed you in before, behind. I laid my hand upon you. See? And so he's telling us, like, no, I'm there. I'm surrounding you. I've got, you're mine. You're mine. And it says in verse 6, such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, lofty. I can't attain it. So he goes through this, which you go, wow. But he goes, no, it's above you. You can't even comprehend what I'm doing. Now we always, oh, I wonder what God's doing in the world. Well, let's kind of narrow it down to us. He says, no, you can't comprehend what I'm doing with you. I'm doing with you in every situation. And so as you walk in every situation, you think, well, wait a minute. There shouldn't be any fear here. Shouldn't be, because this is God hemming me in front and back, his hand upon me. Okay, and then you're moving with God. You're listening and moving with God because we're his. We're his. See, God hedges in his own. Don't you like that word? God hedges in his own for the purpose of protection behind and before. Now something comes to mind if you read through Job, so you hear here, and just repeat this, God hedges in his own. He hedges in his own, before and behind. And then it goes on, he amplifies it, and he goes, you have laid your hand on me. I mean, just think about this. Hedged, before, behind, his hand is over you. I'm in pretty good shape. I mean, if I have my vision on him and listen to him, I'm in pretty good shape. Fascinating verse is in the book of Job. And so you have this situation, which is beyond my comprehension. Satan appears before God. And God has this conversation, which I don't understand. But he has this conversation. Where have you been? And Satan goes from going to and fro in all the earth. Now, you know what that statement is? That's an ownership statement. That's ownership. And he's telling God, to and fro the whole earth. You know what God says? It's not all yours. Have you seen my servant Job? See, well, you get out of my world, I'll kick you out. Don't you claim possession of the world. You know, I mean, that'd been my fight. I'm tougher than you. You know, we could have had that, but that's not what he said. He goes, no, it's not yours. Have you seen my servant Job? One guy. And he said, his holy mind. So Satan's irritation was one guy. I got the world. He said, no, you don't. What about Job? And so Job becomes Satan's irritation. See? Now, does this start explaining you, the church? We are Satan's irritation. We're Satan's irritation. And Job's reply to God, when God says, you've seen my servant Job. It's not all yours. Satan goes, well, does he fear you for nothing? Because you have hedged him up and no one can get to him. Now, that's just kind of a throwaway verse. But do you hear what that says? Who knew God had built this hedge, or if we use Psalm 139, he hemmed them in before, behind, and put his hand over him. Who saw that? Who saw that? Satan saw that. Who couldn't get to Job? Satan couldn't get to Job. In fact, nobody could get to Job. And so when God said, have you seen my servant Job? So his throwback way, just because nobody can get to him, that's the only reason he loves you. You know, but spiritually, he saw this. He saw this spiritually in the book. So that gives us an idea of who we are. And you know, Satan attacked Job. But you know why he attacked Job? God goes, no, he's going to love me no matter what. I'll pull away the hedge, attack him. He'll still love me. Now, if I'm Job, I'm going, oh, time out. God, no, I mean, I'm up front. We're good, you know. I don't want to go through this. Really, don't do this. No, you're going to attack him, and he'll still love me. Now, what about the church? I'm like, Job, God, I love you. And he just pours out, okay, Lord, I lift up my, I love you. It's like, gosh, let up a little, you know. But see, there's a bigger picture going on. Angelic forces, everything, seeing. And God said, no, I'm moving, and I'm moving in my church. And I'm using all sorts of things in my church, but I'm taking care of it. No matter what you're going through, him in front, back, my hands over you. Satan, you built a hedge around him. I can't get to him. Same thing. So it's a fascinating thing when you look at it. And what we have here, this knowledge of, you know, personal protection and blessing, this knowledge of God discerns and discriminates. Did you know God discriminates? Yeah. God discerns and discriminates in favor of those who are loyal to him. Yeah, these folks are different. They're mine. They're mine. And he discriminates and he discerns and he says, these are mine and these are the ones I give favor to. Now, everybody's welcome in, you know, but if you decide not to be, okay, that's a choice that you have, that I'm protected in my own. And if you move out of that realm of protection, whose realm do you move into? 1 John says, the whole world is under the control of the evil one. So if God is hemming us in, front line, hedging us in, and protecting us, and we go outside of that, whose world are we in? I'm going to wait till you say it. Satan's. I mean, the Bible tells, well, I don't say that. The Bible said that. The Bible said that. And so I want everybody to be happy. Not happening. Not happening. See, because it's when you move in and receive Christ as your Savior, there's protection comes from that. There's direction comes from that. And so he is trying to get his people to pay attention. That's what he's trying to do, because he's offered that protection. And then, I shouldn't say this, but I'm going to say it anyway. And then when you're really trucking and doing good with God, he says, now I'll just kind of move back and I'll show, and Satan's going to attack you head on, but you're going to stand for me. I said, no, don't do that. I don't want you to do that. No, you're going to stand. You're going to praise me no matter what. And that's the testimony. That's the testimony. And you know, not only Satan did that, you know, the Bible says in 1 Peter, says the angels look upon that. All that, and they look upon. These people worship him no matter what. See, the angels say, wow, how about that? See, it's a picture what God's doing. So it helps understand what's happening. And see, I don't mean to be sarcastic, but just to make a point, you've heard people say, well, you have to believe a certain religion. It's health and wealth and nothing goes wrong. You know, I don't know who's with that group, but But the thing of it is, that's not biblical. God says, no, this is a battle. You're going to go through things. You're going to have to call upon me, you know. And it's in those things where you're going to show the glory of God. The glory of God. And he's moving. And you need to be in tune with him. In tune with him. You see what I'm saying? And so this is what it's saying here in this psalm. And not only that, so God is actively involved in our lives. Amen? Ask you this. Was God actively involved in Job's life? See? Yeah, he was. Big time. And Job knew it. He couldn't figure it out. But he knew it. He knew it. So here we have that God is actively involved in our lives. He's actively involved in your life. Now, so what we can learn from this, and not only is God actively involved in our lives, we cannot even escape his presence. We can't get away from it. You know, I was in such and such place, and God just had nothing to do with me there. I was glad I got out of that place. Or I can go to this place and I don't have to do anything. The Lord says, I just get out of that. And God goes, no, you can't do that with me. You can't escape my presence. And wherever you are, I am. Now that, see, that fits in. Wherever you are, I am. Well, I have a dark spot here. Well, I put you there. Wherever you are, I am. And my prayer is, God, I don't know. Why don't you put Adam there? See, I don't want to go again, you know. So, you know, I want, people say, I want to share the blessings. I kind of want to share the pain. I want to, it's in some way. Now, I'm being a little facetious, okay. Now, so look at Psalms 139, verse 7. Psalm 139, verse 7. Where shall I go from your spirit? Or where shall I flee from your presence? And nobody, the Spirit and his presence is everywhere. The globe is dark, but his presence is everywhere we go. See, the Spirit of God is parallel to the presence of God. Now, and I believe that the Lord can manifest his, and does manifest his presence more actively at different times. I really do. Oh, the presence, I just want to manifest. I think that happens. There's no doubt. But for, like, if I want the presence of God, this is an example. The presence of God needs to be behind that pulpit. Then I have to walk behind it. And I show up, and the Holy Spirit showed up, and the presence of God showed up. See, that's what happened. I wish God to appear in my home. You're in it. He did. You know, I wish he'd appear in my kids. No, no, you got the kids. And you're in it. You got to take care of the kids. See, that's what it says there. And so we understand that, you know, that that's so it all ties in how God moves. Now, again, I do pray and I know and I've seen where God has manifested his presence in a greater way at different times. But so God's plan is in his world to move his people in this world. And, well, let's just read this. I think this is the best way to look at it. So we have God's presence is everywhere to protect his children, and God is absolutely sovereign over creation, everything. Look at Psalm 139, verse 8. And I'm going to read verse 8 through 12. I didn't put the whole thing on the overhead. But Psalm 139, verse 8 through 12. And it's like, it's got, where do I move to get away from God? No, I'm there all the time. If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, and some translations say hell, if I went to hell, say, if I made my bed in Sheol or with the dead, you are there. I can't get away from you there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. I have to pause here. It brings to mind, and again, it's so consistent, but it's like the prophet Jonah, and he's fascinating. You read the book, God told him what to do. He said, I ain't doing it. And that, I mean, that's kind of my paraphrase, but that's what he says. I ain't doing it. No. And so what he does, he goes and gets in a boat and hides and leaves. And so they bring this big storm on these people. And they, all these sailors, my gosh, we're going to drown. We've never seen this storm. We're going to drown. And they said, you know what? And they're throwing lots, trying to figure out who it is. And they figure it's Jonah. It had nothing to do with this. It was Jonah. That's like a disobedient person of God leaving. He caused the whole ship in trouble. See, we can cause a lot of problems for the world just being disobedient, you know? So the Jonas, and so they, what is this? And he tells them, it's me. I mean, he knew it was him. Jonah knew it was him. He says, they go, well, we're going, he goes, you're going to have to throw me overboard. And you can see these poor guys say, I don't know if this is a good idea. Just say he's a prophet. He said, throw him overboard. We're in this much trouble. What are we going to do throwing him overboard? But that's what Jonah said. It's me. To get this up, you got to throw me overboard. So they throw him overboard. Sea storms. See? It was Jonah. It was his presence that caused the storm. They threw him overboard. Storm's just fine. Well, gosh, now we have to do a huge miracle, because when your people are disobedient, you have to do greater miracles. So he gets this fish, swallows him, takes him out, and the word says, like, throws up on shore. So he gets puked up on shore. I mean, that's what happened. Like that. See, I think a lot of my direction as life has been, I've just been puked up on shore. It's like, oh, gosh, I need to shower, but I should have listened the first time. But the point of it is, where was God in the storm when Jonah was in that boat? He's with Jonah. This was Jonah. See, he goes, oh, God has forsaken me. No, I'm there with you. See, I've got this. I just need to get you to pay attention. I got it. So you can listen the first time or get puked up on shore. I mean, we got a choice. Okay, no more said. Verse 11. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, and the light about me be night. You're not even daylight, just covered in darkness. Even the darkness is not dark to you. The night is bright as day, for darkness is as light with you. You get in the closet, shut the door, turn the lights off, dark. He can't see me. He's like, I can see you. I can see you. No, you can't. But you see what he's saying. You see what he's saying here. Now, we have the assurance of God's all-encompassing presence and protection. We do. We do. Also, this means evil cannot escape God's mighty presence or ultimate judgment. Evil can't get away with it. They may think they're getting, but they will not get away. In fact, there's a place in Psalms where it says, God will so turn around that evil will have to praise you. You know, because now I'm just going to use it for my benefit in the long run. So, the presence of God is everywhere, hence God knows all things in all places. I had this guy tell me, well, and he is being nice, he was, but it really concerned me what he said. But Linda and I had somebody's going to pay, and we're going to Las Vegas. We didn't go, but we had this opportunity to talk. But his comment was, he just go over and have a blast, do what you want to. You don't have to tell anybody what's going on. I go, why did he say that? I mean, it was like, I would go to Las Vegas and be like something I wasn't, you know, here. You know, like just go nuts like I was 18 years old. And he said, that's good. And then you come back and good. And I think, no. My theology says, man, I'm in deep stuff if I do that. You know, God's going to be there. You may not know, but he will. And I'm just like, if I wanted to, I'd be scared to. You know, it's like, I mean, that's not real holy. Won't you do that? Scared to, you know. But anyway, but the truth of it, he's everywhere. You know, he's everywhere. So, man cannot hide himself from the all-seeing eye of the Lord, whether it's the highest heavens, the recesses of the earth, the depths of the sea. The knowledge or discernment of God can never be limited into any particular place, because God's sovereignty extends to the whole universe. I mean, you think, oh, I just need to rest. I'm going to get away to Las Vegas. I'm just saying this because this guy told me. I mean, he told me that. I'm just saying, no, God's in Las Vegas. I mean, he's just going there. And if he's not there, he's going to show up there because you went there. You know, see, you're just a big party pooper, because everywhere you show up, he's going to show up. You see what I'm saying? It's like, oh, I'm going to invite them over. Oh, gosh, they'll just bring Jesus. Every time they show up, they bring Jesus, you know. Now, but that's what this is saying. This is what this is saying. Now, so the Lord's hand will protect God's child wherever he is. Now, this is just the Bible. He will. He's going to protect wherever he is. There is only light with God. And his light brightens up the darkness, so we can say the night will shine like day, for darkness is his light to God. We show up. You should have said, well, we get a Bible, several tracts, and, you know, a choir. I don't know, we're going to worship. Make. No, that's not what he says. You show up, and Jesus shows up. Jesus shows up. See? And so that's what is happening, and from God's point of view, that's what he sees. That's what he sees. Now, again, I will go back. The whole world's under the control of the evil one. That's what Satan sees. That's exactly what Satan sees. He sees it too. We are an irritation to him. A huge irritation to him. I was watching this thing, and I've seen it, and it's not 100%, but it's a lot of truth to it. But it's just like, well, take this country, because, you know, it's just like, it's really accepting of all religions. In fact, they'll press that. Oh, you don't say that. It's everybody, everything, all the time. Believe everything, you know. And so there's a whole thing of acceptance. But when you see an outright persecution, it's like, and I'm going to step out on a limb here, just in our area here in Northern Virginia, say, man, I've just seen this whole just persecution of Muslims, persecution of Buddha, persecution of Indians, you know, persecution of whatever. Not. There's persecution of Christians. From Satan's view, what does he see? Not a problem. This is a problem. It's a problem. The whole world's dark. And then Job. I got the whole Job. It's a problem. Because he's light. We are light. We're a problem. That's the reason we're persecuted. See? That is why. Now, I mean, people are mad. They kill each other all the time for no reason. Because Satan wants to destroy the human race. Because the human race is in the image of God. But he has a personal dislike for the church, because it represents Christ. Not it represents Christ is in us. Christ is in us. And a church that doesn't preach the gospel is fine, because Christ is not in it. By the way, if Christ isn't in it, you know, whose control is it in? Oh, just love everybody and don't get hung up on the word and just. That's what Satan would do. That's what he would do. See? Then we're no issue. We're no issue. Now, so we see this, we say, my goodness. So he makes the dark light. He makes the dark light. But on this earth right now, how does he make the dark light? It's us. Where does God dwell? Where does Jesus dwell? Where does the Holy Spirit dwell? In us. We're an irritation to Satan. Now, God is the creator, and his creative concerns include the individual. So we see we're the light, but he's worried about us as individuals, okay? Not only did God create the heavens and the earth, he created our inward being. Now you think about that. Created the universe, created the world. Here we are in the world, Christ in the world. But he created our inward being. You know what that means. Is the you that you, he created. Your personality. Now sin, like we had the other one, it messes up everything. Okay, sin. But the being of who you are, is he created that being. And it's like no accident. You hear that, but there really isn't. He created that being. And so, and what it says, and when you look at this and this whole view, how God's saying he knows everything, look at Psalm 139, verse 13. Psalm 139, verse 13. For you formed my inward parts. Now, the guys are just fessing up. You know, I can't get away from you. I can't go. No, it's just here. And he says, you formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I love that word. It's like a little embryo has been formed. God just, I'm doing cross stitch. Working out, you know. And so you see this. You formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. The Lord has formed the individual as a spiritual being, my inmost being, and a physical being. You knit me together. All beings, not just church, all beings owe their existence to God. As believers, we know that the Lord has formed us for a purpose. So he knit together all beings, the human race, you know. But we have something, we see something. He formed us for a purpose as we step in the kingdom and call upon him. Now again, anybody on the outside is welcome in. But they can't create their own religion, their own philosophy, and get there. God says, nah, I'm just taking care of my own. Because it says he discriminates. Does God discriminate? Yeah. His church and those outside of his church. Big time. Big time. Big time. So, we know he has created us as beings for a purpose. Amen? Psalm 139, verse 14. Now the guy goes, I got it. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it well. See? I think some of your kids have probably said this to you. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. You know, you maybe, but you're going to listen to me right now. Okay, but no, but look at that. Isn't that amazing? And the psalmist is saying when he's looking here and saved here for us, when we look at ourselves before God, that's how we should see ourselves. And I just, what? Made you just the way, but you know, I made you just the way you were. Oh, I did. You didn't do nothing. I made you just the way you were. I made you just the way you were. And so it's like fearfully and wonderfully made. So God has this vision of us. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. And so it's just kind of stopping like, wow. Kind of look at your hands. Kind of, what? Really? Really? We should be excited that God wonderfully formed us. Now listen to this. The Hebrew, what's written in Hebrew, can legitimately be translated as this. I praise thee, for I am awesome and wonderful. Now that's, okay, I mean that's what it says, you know. I praise because I'm awesome and wonderful. But he's looking back, how you made me. But the credit is totally to God. I praise thee, for I'm awesomely wonderful. For all these mysteries, I thank you for the wonder of myself, for the wonder of your works. Now that's what it says. You think, no, that's not very humble. No, that's what God said. And that's the way we're supposed to look at us. And what God tries to do is work through us and finally and teach us and transform that we'll finally realize that about ourselves. But see, you over here say, "Oh man, I am the greatest." You know, no, that's not exactly what I had in mind. But while I move over here, say, "Oh, I thank God. I can't believe how you made me. I thank you. I thank you for every finger. I thank you for everything. I thank Lord, oh my God, I thank you. What you have shown me, the love you." See, all that's deflected to God, to who you are. But it's appreciation to who you are. "Oh, I'm just low down, no good." No, Jesus died for that. You are wonderfully made, and I want you to realize that before God. Realize that. That's what that verse says. It's amazing. But again, over here it's me, and over here it's no, this is what God has done. And that puts you in awe, and it's like, man, what? And you kind of think, what should I be doing with this being before you, God? Go to Las Vegas and don't tell anybody what you did. No. You say, "Hey, God, what do you want to do? Oh, my God, I can't believe that you made me. You know, you made put me, I'm alive, I'm here." And that's what this verse is saying. And we miss that sometimes in Christianity. I had this one, this is funny, couple. And so they're trying to raise their kids. Oh, you try to raise your kids, right, you know. And so they want him to be something. And this is sad, right? And he says, "Okay, do you understand?" He's, "Yeah." "What's wrong?" He's, "I don't like what I'm doing." "Well, what do you want to be?" He goes, "I want to be God." Anyway, she said, "You're not." "You're not." You know. So anyway, see, the kids are kind of getting, "No, I am kind of wonderful anyway." But he needed a little maturity there. But what here, because of unbelievably how he made us, and the thing of it is, he wants us to realize who we are. And if who we are, we don't want to do something to destroy that. If we really recognize who we are, we don't want to do something to destroy that. See that? Now, all of God's works are wonderful, but the believer senses more than any other part of God's creation that he is fearfully and wonderfully made. See, as believers, we go, "Okay, I see that. Oh, my." And not only fearfully, wonderfully made, then you have the Lord Jesus Christ die in our place and took the sin that was distorting that and then placed on him. You see? Now you can be who you're supposed to be. Because that sin was in the way. So Jesus came in perfection and took that. And now it's, "Okay, you have no reason." And then you blow it. "Oh, God, Lord, you died for that." You see? You see? "I'm going to Las Vegas, do everything I want, and I'm not going to tell anybody." "Hey, you died for that too." Ouch. You know, it's true, but I'm thinking, that's going to, you know, I think I'm going to be in a boat in the middle of the ocean in the storm about that time. See? Which I brought on myself. So here we are. We live with a personal awareness of God's graciousness for us. Now you see where this is going? We have a personal awareness of God's graciousness for us. God is concerned with the individual whom he has formed for his purpose. Why wouldn't he want to take care of us? Why would not God not want to take care? Right there, we're fearfully and wonderfully made, which God believes. He wants us to believe it. He sent his son to die for our sins, so that will be taken again. Why wouldn't he? Because we're fearfully and wonderfully made, so he'll take care of what we can't take care of. Why wouldn't we go, "Wow, oh my goodness." And it is, therefore, there's a therefore here. Therefore, praise is the proper response to God's grace and purpose for us. You couldn't, it's like, "Oh my gosh, I can't help but praise him." Why can't we praise him? Because we don't believe this. So we can't praise him. We don't believe it. See, this is the thing. And this, I'm guilty. Oh my gosh, I'm guilty. Your actions will communicate your belief. Now, I mess up like 5 times each morning. It's like, But your overall actions will communicate your belief. You know, it says, you're fearfully wonderful. You may be saved, but then nobody knows but you and God. Because nobody else is seeing it. And I think there's a few folk like that, you know. I think in heaven you're going to see some folks and you say, you've got to be kidding me, God. You've got to be. I told you about Linda's mother. You know, she saw this person and she said, you know, and said, God can never go to heaven. Right? Never. And I said, well, no, you're forgiven and trust in the Lord. You go to heaven, which she believed. No, he ain't going. He's not. Well, why wouldn't you go to heaven? She said, let me ask you this. Would you want to be in heaven with him? And I thought, well, not really, but but anyway, no, that didn't work. No, if he trusts, he goes to heaven. He goes to heaven. Anyway. So what we have, so our response to understand is this, is praise. Now, I'll tell you something here. And just in this one situation, because I blow it every other day, it's like, well, go to Las Vegas and you're like that. You don't tell anybody. No, I can't do nothing but praise here. And if I'm in Las Vegas, I can't do nothing but praise here. I can't. What I'm doing here, well, I can't do that. But why I can't do it? Because who I am and what God's done, and he's in Las Vegas. And if he's not, when I show up, he comes. I'll run the party for everybody. See? Now, so you see this. The child of God sees God's presence everywhere and experiences the joy of God's watchful eye. What if you said, go to Las Vegas? Well, I'll go to Las Vegas. He's not there. Oh, I don't want to be there if he's not there because I want to be under his protection. I'm having those problems the way it is. I don't want to get out from under his protection. You know, I want to stay under that. You see what I'm saying? But this is a theological, mental mindset. You understand what I'm saying? And it's a belief system. It's a belief system. And it goes to the depths of what we truly, truly believe. His presence and our experience with him is everywhere. So, Psalm 139, verses 15 through 16. Again, going to the depths of God's involvement in us. Psalms 139:15-16. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret, intricately woven. Did you know that? You was intricately woven. I put a thing, I saw this in a commentary. It says what that means is complex patterns and colors. Now, if that's not the human race, you were made in secret, intricately woven, complex patterns and colors. Man, you just come out and it's all sorts. Oh my gosh. You know. In the depths, you were intricately woven, complex patterns and colors in the depths of the earth. Now, what that means, in the depths of the earth, it's showing the depths of the unseen that you can't comprehend. It means in the hiddenness of the womb. That's where it happened. That's where the knitting took place. In the depths of the womb. The knitting took place. Now, your eyes saw my unformed substance. Think about that. In the womb. Your eyes saw my unformed substance. In your book were written every one of them. The days that were formed for me, when as yet there was none of them. When were the days determined of what God wanted to do with you? When did God do, okay, this I got this guy, this I got this gal, I got in the womb. In the womb. The one guy specifically that comes out and said he was called from the womb beforehand. I mean, guy, he didn't have a choice about nothing. All right? That's Jeremiah. That's Jeremiah. Called him out of the womb. Said out of the, you know, before you were born. You know. See, and so in the book, everything's written about them. The days that were formed for me, when there was yet none of them. When there was none in the womb. Is in the womb. This is when God's doing his work. Even when unborn and little more than a physical being in the womb, the Lord had a purpose for the undeveloped embryo. The main emphasis is on our prenatal fashioning by God. This is a powerful reminder of the value God sets on us even as embryos. Lord, it be. I got to go to college to be this for God. No, you got to be born to be that for God. See, now I'm not down in college. I think he'll have that in the path, and that's what we should do and stuff like that. But that's the whole idea there. So the idea of purpose comes more clearly because the Lord says, I wrote it in a book. Not that he there. He said, wrote it in a book. He has it in a book. He wrote it in a book, which first refers to God's knowledge and blessing of his child all the days of his life. It's written. I got it written out. Written out. And this is the background. Now, let's hear something the Apostle Paul states. Now, have this. You got this in your mind? You've written out the book in this embryo. Right? Listen to what Apostle Paul says. The Apostle Paul has this psalm memorized. Now, he says this. He fully knows this psalm. And the Apostle Paul says, Ephesians 2:10, we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand. Well, I'm here and I create this and I'm going to do this for Jesus. Just tune in. See, because you've been created for good works which God prepared beforehand. This is tied to Psalms 139. He prepared beforehand that we should walk into them. All you got to do is show up. When did you do this? When you were an embryo and I wrote it in the book. Who should we be listening to? God. And then we kind of go, oh my goodness. And so here is the psalmist's response, and I think it should be our response. Are you ready for our response? In knowing this, you're going, Psalm 139, verse 17. Oh, this thing flows like crazy. Psalm 139, verse 17. How precious to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast the sum of them. I mean, he's just like, you got to be kidding me. Lord, you got to be kidding me. See, that's what he said. It's hard. You can't get your arms around it. That's what he said. You can't. We say, wow, the thoughts of God are too magnificent, too numerous, too exalted for man. It is impossible for the creature to comprehend the Creator. We can't get it together. God's plans, Jesus' plans, are beyond man's ability to comprehend. We need God to speak to understand God. We need God to speak to us to understand God, not create our own God, our own thought, our own theology. Understanding this, if we understand this, then we desire nothing less than the conformity to God's will. Okay, say we get it. We get it, okay? If we get it, oh my God, I don't want to just, what do you say? If we get it. If we don't get it, well, we just truck along. See? But if we get it, we think, oh my gosh, I desire nothing but you on this to tell me. We desire nothing but God's will because we know our way leads to destruction, along with Jonah on the ship in the storm. Or it leads to God's way, which leads to life and fellowship with God. Therefore, this is how he ends the song. Now look how he ends the song. And I've heard sermons preached on these last two verses, and it's just, you know, all sorts of good stuff. But these last two verses are tied to the rest of the song, where you're like going, holy good night. You know, oh my gosh. You know, oh Lord, I got, you got to say something to me because you're really the deal here going on. I need to understand what you're doing here. So therefore, if we understand this, this is how we respond. Psalm 139, 23 through 24. Oh, dear God, search me, know my heart, try me, know my thoughts, and see if there be any grievous, offensive way in me. And then you lead me in the way of everlasting. Amen. See, this the whole psalm, these last two, I mean, they preach good. You know, and been a way shorter message. Okay. But they're tied to the other verses. I formed you as an embryo. I knit you together. I have a purpose for you before you came. It's all written in a book. I've got this together. I'm the only one that knows. You need to get in tune with me. Then it ends. Oh, my God, search me. Know my heart. Try me. Know my thoughts. See if there's been any grievous way in me. And then you lead me. Amen. Now, that's the problem with the church. Now, we're blaming all the lost people. But that's the problem with the church. They say, lead me. Oh, search my heart. Oh, search me. Know my heart. If there's anything grievous, show it to me. Now you lead me. Amen? That's the whole issue for the church. And that's the reason the Apostle Paul picked up on it. Ephesians 2:10. Created in Christ Jesus to do works that were created beforehand. Amen? Now be excited. And we get this stinking virus. Feel on that thing. I mean, I'm going to wash my hands and stuff. But fooey on that thing. You see what I'm saying? We move in the power of Christ. We're not stupid. You know, I'm going to put my coat on before I go outside. It's 20 degrees. However, I'm not afraid. However, I know that God is going to direct. I know that God is going to lead. He can't direct and lead if I'm locked in my basement. You see what I'm getting at? I'm being a little facetious, but you see what I'm getting at? So we're going to stand strong. And as soon as we stand strong, I'm going to tell you, we become an irritation. We're an irritation. Amen. God bless being an irritation. Hallelujah. All right, let's just praise God. Let's just praise God. And I'm going to pray before. Lord, I just go ahead and stand. Won't you stand? I'm going to pray with me. Lord, as we look at this, it's just like the psalmist says, this is beyond our comprehension. I mean, it is, and it's only because you tell us that we have any insight here whatsoever. But Lord, as you've told us, that you discriminate towards your church, okay, because you have your arms around your church. This full, knit together, complex, full of colors. But God, but as we stand here, we say, God, oh, search me, God. I see who you are. I see that that you have written in the book the things you have for me. Oh, Lord, search me. Oh, Lord, know my heart. Oh, Lord, try me. Oh, Lord, know my thoughts. Oh, Lord, see if there's any grievous way in me. Now, Lord, show me. Now, you lead me. Now, you lead me into those works that you have prepared. Now, you lead me to those things that you have written in your book. Now, you lead me as you have created me wonderfully in your image. And I thank you for your great work. So we praise you, Holy God. And then we also praise you, God, to have this. We know we prayed, and for the world, we pray that we first know for them to enter into this blessing, your blessing, that they have to trust the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. So we pray and thank you for God so loved the